You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Everybody. I told Anthony a long time ago I would love to cover this song. Bemir Bistushane, Andrew Sisters. You could put a pair of balls on this song and it could be really groovy. Listen to this shit. Oh, yeah, that could be groovy. Like, real just thick. Put a nice thick layer of badass balls all over it. It's already badass. But it would just be great to resurrect it a little bit because what the hell are people listening to? I would love to be a part of some kind of an effort to turn people on to Andy Andrews Sisters or Glenn Miller. I'd love to do anything like that. That'd be great. I'd have a lot of fun. But in either case, welcome to the show. It's 7.03 p.m. on the East Coast. This is Quite Frankly. I'm Frankly. And here we are. I want to do a couple of things here. First, right off the bat, I don't want to talk about Donald Trump. I don't want to talk about... we have to do one thing because I have a couple of things that people wrote here, especially our good buddy Midas, Anarchy in Black. I have something here from Ancaparado, Max from Colorado, who wrote a little something too. That is just a little general speaking about the whole election and stuff. It's good to take the temperature, but not going to stay on. Definitely not going to talk about any of this this media spin on an assassination. You heard about this? Donald Trump is apparently condoning an assassination of Hillary Clinton, which it's obviously not. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He made a stupid comment, and it's obviously not an endorsement of assassination. But the thing is here that he's just once again, he wants to lose. He wants to lose. Is he telling people, hey, you know, Hillary Clinton's Supreme Court picks means doom for gun advocacy? Go out and kill her. Absolutely not. No. Anybody who's not politically motivated knows he didn't mean that. But on the other hand, he keeps giving his opposition, if you can call it that, all signs point to that he's working with them. But he's giving his opposition new things every day to deflect away from the fact that their platform is horrible. There's no new ideas. There's no good ideas. It's just more calamity, more social division, more devaluing of our currency and dissolution of our borders and our culture and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Not only does it help his opposition deflect away from all of the shit that has been exposed. I mean, Julian Assange in his bunker somewhere must be like, what the fuck is this guy doing? I'm trying to help him out. And he's just deflecting away from it. Not only that, but it really hurts. It really hurts his chances of capturing anybody that might be on the fence. Anybody that might be on the fence of thinking about what they might do in this election where there doesn't seem to be any good choices. He's goodbye to that shit too. So that's all I'll say about that. Fucking, so what's his name from from Connecticut talking about how this is just disgraceful, disgraceful. So shut up. Shut up. Fucking drama queens looking for something to twist into an offensive pretzel every day. They take words and they twist it into an offensive pretzel. A word pretzel. That's what it is. Nothing's going on, but they have no good ideas and nothing to do. So, you know, these hawks, these fear hawks, that's what they are. Well, in either case, I thought this was really cool. Here's a map of the United States that shows you charitable giving by county in 2013. Now, the greener it is, the more that they give, and the more fuchsia, the more purple it is, the less they give. And obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you're not going to be able to see this, so just, you know, check out the video whenever you can. Here is from 2013. Notice the South, Utah, Midwest, all those states that mostly vote conservatively, that are a little bit more religious and everything, there they are. There they are, putting their money where their mouth is. Okay, and now just for shits and giggles, I went and I took the 2012 electoral map from the 2012 whatchamacallit election, and I put it side by side with this. Look at this. Now, I think that's pretty staggering right there, wouldn't you think? And our good buddy Bill. Our good buddy Bill from the Liberty Bill blog, he goes and very coyly says, it's like the areas with lower tax rates see greater degrees of generosity. And yes, yes, it does seem that way, doesn't it, Bill? Doesn't it, fellas? Doesn't it, ladies? Because what do our friends from the Northeast, where we are right now, all the commies in New York, well, actually, no, I can't even say that. I can't even say that because this is government. You know, you look at New York over here. Now, if you're going to talk about New York State, and coming from New York, and Matt just came into the room, he could tell you because he's a big fan of upstate New York as well. But there's a map of New York as far as county and everything it's talking about. And you see, there's your there's Long Island down there. That's where Midas is from. And so here is the state of New York. And there is their charitable givings. Pretty bad, right? You think, oh, wow, New York is a bunch of cheapskates, huh? Well, here is pretty much the most liberal part of New York. Right here. Right here. This population center right here around the tri-state area, right there in New York City, the metropolitan area, I should say, is pretty much the entirety of what determines an election in New York, whether it is a state issue, a state election, gubernatorial, anything like that, or whether it is whether it counts toward the electoral count during the presidential election. So the population, which is down the city, cram-packed into those little into the beehives that is New York City, they vote very, very liberally, of course, because it's a large city. You need a lot of amenities. You need a lot of help. You need a lot of that stuff. You need support in all types of fashions, which is why some people will theorize that people are being relocated and pushed into these areas, you know, into these population centers, so that they can free up the rural areas for the government, big government, and subsidize companies and all that, like Monsanto, to take over the farmlands and just shove people into these little areas that control so much of the legal weight. And there you go. Upstate New York, from Westchester on up, is largely conservative. They vote largely in favor of smaller government, of lower taxes, but they are always overruled by the 8 million people that are living in the boroughs. Over 8 million people that are living in the boroughs that make up New York City. Upstate New York, if you were to go up from Putnam County up, forget about it. You know, they want the SAFE Act repealed. They're Second Amendment people. They probably all have their Trump signs out. Because they love him? Probably not. But because they know it's the only way that anything that might resemble something they would like to see come out of the way that they're governed can come to fruition. Even if it's just 20% of everything that he says. Because you know that once anybody gets into office, please, nothing's going to happen. So that's what it comes down to right there. All those people, these are people that you would think that, oh, wow, New York, they're really frugal. No. Government makes people frugal. Taxation makes people frugal who are otherwise just as human as everybody else, who would give more if they had more. But when you are taxed so much and regulated so much that you are on a shoestring budget just to keep yourself afloat and make sure that you have a roof over your head and food on the table, then I think that charitable givings and being a little bit more community-oriented and a little bit more focused, extroverted instead of being focused on yourself is a little bit harder to do. It's a little harder to do. So for all the people who are suffering under the rule of law, under the government of California and everybody over here in New York, oh man, we're praying for some sanity. But there's just another example of what government does to the human species. Taxation is not charity. It is not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is allow people to take care of people, not governments to force people into, you know, pretty much conscription. That's slavery. When 40% of the year that you work, those benefits and the fruits of your labor goes to a big pot somewhere in Albany or Washington, D.C. and redistributed against your will to people who don't know where it's coming from, don't care where the money is coming from. All they know is that they deserve it because they've been sold that by the people who need perennial voters, who need people to line up at the voting booths and grant them the legitimacy, the power to go out and take and provide and grow the dependent class so that their need, the necessity for them to be around grows as well. Them, I mean government. So there you go. There's a scheme. There's the entire scheme laid out for you. You're not free. None of us are. We're all working for somebody that we don't like. Moving on from that, since that is a little bit more on the socialism side of things, Ann Caparato, who's in the chat right now, he wrote this today. The mistake of the socialist is to ask, why do some have so little? Why do some have so little and why others have so much? To which, if they expect wealth to be the norm, then they conclude that the rich must have taken from the poor. If one simply consults history, poverty is a status quo and human want is infinite. The real question is, why does anyone have anything at all? To this question, one invariably arrives at the conclusion that property rights and free trade are the only means of lifting people from poverty. That's it. That's it. As Milton Friedman said, you cannot have, what do you say about liberty and equity? The free market is the only place that you are able to have a high degree of both liberty and equity, but without liberty, you cannot have equality at all. It's the least chances of doing that. Now, moving on to something else, because this is also on the New York end, and this is also on the ridiculousness of government end. I have a little bit of something here from Poor Richard's News. Chuck Schumer, our home state senator over here, Chuck Dracula Vampire Schumer. This man looks like if you put him in a cape, and he's a vampire. There he is. That guy has chomped on many necks in many dark alleyways in Brooklyn in his life. You can see it in his eyes. He's chomped down and fed from many a jugular. Chuck Schumer waived taxes on Olympic athletes because, quote, hard work shouldn't be punished. Can you imagine that? Without the teeniest sense of irony, okay, this is from Hot Air. Without the teeniest sense of irony, Senator Chuck Schumer has proposed that America's Olympic medal winners should not have to pay taxes on the cash prizes they are awarded with their medals. Schumer's reasoning behind lifting the tax, because, quote, hard work and excellence shouldn't be punished. Meanwhile, back home, where everybody that works hard every day and doesn't get any acknowledgement and any medals for it is bent over and without lubrication, fucked and fingered and sodomized in every way, shape, or form by people like Chuck Schumer. The vampire man. The vampire man. When everybody goes home at night, Chuck Schumer retreats to the dark alleyways of New York City. And just like Brad Pitt in Interview with the Vampire, on nights when humans are not available, he'll suck on the blood of rats just to keep himself going. And there you have it. There you have it. So let me go on a really quick break. It's 7:17. That's the end of the first segment. When we come back, I want to bring up Midas. I want to read Midas's great depiction and great breakdown of what we have right now going on with the election. And then after that, hopefully we're able to move away from the election, talk about something else. Around the 7:40 area for the last 20 minutes of this show, we're going to have Joe and Jonesy from Broken Filter Live podcast come on. They record live right after this show on Tuesday nights. So you guys are going to get a little bit of that. Before I go on break, let's see what Johnny Kimble has to say. What's going on, Johnny Kimble?
Does he fucking really believe that? Do you think?
No. 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 Not at all. Not at all. And you want to know the only reason why Schumer is actually jumping all over this opportunity is because the Olympics is such a communist push. It is such a commie push. It's such a feel-good push. There's so much things that are built up around it. I mean, you heard the opening ceremonies and the things that people are saying, and it's just, that's all it is. 100%. What do you think?
Hard work should not be punished. You know what I did today, Frank? I got a new job.
Good for you.
I fucking pick parts in a warehouse and load them into a truck all day long. Three times a day, we load trucks. And it's not easy. And you know what? If there was an Olympic medal for picking parts out of a warehouse, I probably wouldn't win it.
Because
that doesn't mean I don't bust my ass.
Now you know, the guy who was making the announcements at the Olympics the other night, he would tell you that everybody's equal and all that stuff, even though, you know, he's
it's a fucking competition.
It's a competition, exactly. Everybody's equal. Now, you said you're not going to get any awards for picking through everything you got to do and loading up trucks and all that stuff. But you know, in Senator Schumer's eyes, you're just as equal as everybody else, especially the people who are home not working at all.
Oh, for sure. And I'm just as equal as the guy that's been there for 10 years. I mean, that makes sense,
that's
right?
That's it. Yeah, because this is it. It's rainbows and unicorns. Isn't this just so cozy? I love that we're alive for the phase in our species development where we finally have grasped what the true meaning of equality is. Just saying things in just weird orders.
It's equality if you say so, basically.
That's it. I love it. We finally made
it. Just like it's racism if you say so.
That's
the point we're at.
Gadsden flag. We're going to talk about that tonight. I want to ask Joe and Jonesy about what they think about that, because it's more of a hate speech thing right there. The Gadsden flag, which has absolutely no racial history. None whatsoever is under review right now to see whether or not it's racist. Okay, a government agency is about to lay down a ruling on whether or not the Gadsden flag is also racist.
Maybe they should ban the 13-star flag, which if I were to buy another American flag, that's the American flag I'm banning.
I'm glad you said that.
Maybe they should ban that.
I'm glad you said that. Hold on one second.
There were slaves in this country during that time period, so we should ban it, because that's racist.
Johnny, I just got this. Hold on. It just came in the mail, Johnny.
Okay. I'll entertain the people.
Oh.
I'm not going to entertain you guys. I'm sorry.
The only one that matters, man.
We're actually going to put that up in the studio over here somewhere. I think over in the corner.
Are your cans on?
What's that?
Can you hear me? Oh, wait, yeah. Never mind.
I can hear you now. Yeah. I can hear you now just fine. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just not going to go take a break.
You know, Frank, we're coming to an end of an era in a couple different things. The Republican Party is basically dismantled.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party doesn't mean anything that it used to mean.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am as I turn around and watch.
Actually, no,
and
no, no.
I'm
no, no,
wondering.
No. I would actually differ with the Democratic Party. They are actually as racist and as manipulative and as authoritarian as they always have been. Keep going, though.
And we are coming to an end of another era on Friday. And I'm looking at my TV, and can you guess what era we're ending?
The A-Rod era.
I just feel like my whole life is collapsing in front of me, really, at this point.
Listen.
The good guys are the bad guys. The only good villain left in baseball is gone.
You know, that's not even fair either. A-Rod has just, he's had so many gaffes, and he's tripped over his own shoelaces so many times, but what has he done wrong? He's made bad moves, and that's it. You have people like David Ortiz. You guys have been stroking his dick as he leaves, and he did everything that A-Rod did. He was a little bit more clutch. We beat up on A-Rod as much as everybody else did because he was making all this money and save for 2009, he didn't really help us out in the playoffs that much. 2009, we couldn't have won the World Series without him. But, you know, he tripped over himself. Actually, 2004, he was doing well until 2004, he was doing well until Game 4 of the Boston Series.
Oh, right. I do recall.
Look at A-Rod's statistics throughout the Minnesota Series and the first three games of the Boston Series. Once the Red Sox won that first game and turned the tide, fucking forget about it. His entire postseason career was on hold until 2009. Seriously.
But really, it is an end of an era for us.
It is.
You and I. There's no one left on any of those fighting rival, God, what was you guys' manager back then?
Torrey.
Yeah, Torrey and Francona. There was, you know, no Pedro, no punches thrown. There's nothing left there now. No bad blood, and I hate it.
That's it. No slapping the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's glove and trying to punch Veritek with his mask still on.
Did you know Veritek will not sign that picture?
Really?
Yeah, you will bring it to him, and he says, no, I'm not going to sign that.
Well, good, because that's actually pretty classy.
Yeah, I mean it is, because, you know, you don't, if you're trying to keep somewhat of an image that Veritek did have, you don't sign that picture.
Right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about that once Joe and Jonesy gets here, because they'll definitely want to talk about something a little bit lighter than this. But let me get on to Midas's thoughts here, and then I definitely want to hear from Max as well. And of course, call back whenever you want.
Absolutely. I'll be watching the game and you.
Thanks, brother. Later. Okay, so here we go. This is out of Wham is on. Hold on, let me put this down a little bit. This came right out of Anarchy in Black. Ready? So let's say that you have $100 to bet on the results of a debate, notwithstanding that it is not always easy to determine who, quote, won a debate until one side explicitly concedes to the other. You have two participants. Candidate A is a self-aggrandizing narcissist who has spent the last 6 months debating 8 other people at once and defeating them all one by one through a combination of grandstanding and name-calling. This man this man has had his own reality TV show and is demonstrably more experienced in showmanship and comedy. And he has based most of his appeal on his image as a straight-talking outsider, and his victory is widely considered to be the death blow to the previously dominant ideology of his party. His weakness is a seeming inability to pick his battles, responding to literally any attack against him, from his business acumen to the size of his hands, though this has resulted in little to no actual negative consequence for him. I would say that the poll swing in the last week and a half would suggest otherwise, but it is only a swing that has happened recently. And if you consider that he was actually leading Hillary Clinton in many polls by as much as 10 to 13 points in the days that immediately followed the ending of the Democratic convention, then we're looking at a 20-point swing in a week and a half. I don't believe any of these polls. And next week, something catastrophic can happen for Hillary Clinton, and it could just be flipped around the other way. Like we said on the air last night, this election is going to be determined by what happens the days leading up to the election. So, Julian Assange, whatever you have left out there, buddy, wait until Halloween night, okay? Wait until All Saints Day. Wait until November 1st to drop the next batch, because whatever drops over the next couple of weeks is going to be forgotten by September 1st. Please, whatever you got, save it. And it's probably why nothing else is. You remember they say after the first DNC leak, Julian Assange said that more is on the way? And we thought that we were going to be getting something of Wednesday of that week, but nothing happened? Right off the bat, they must have had some kind of a war room meeting and said, you know what? If we really want to affect this election at all and put a stick in the spokes of Hillary Clinton at all, we've got to wait. Because look. The only people who think anything of this DNC leak right now are the people on the right and some of the undecideds. But the Democrats are completely rolling over it, and Donald Trump is completely incapable of shutting his fucking mouth. Hillary Clinton, despite not having a press conference since 2015, hasn't needed one because of Donald Trump. Obviously she's battling some kind of neurosis, some mental breakdown, some short circuit, as she would even say herself. But, I mean, he's helping her out. Helping her out. If it was anybody else that had any couth, any bigger, greater level of couth, it'd be over. Candidate B, back to Midas's thoughts. Candidate B is a female career politician with demonstrated sociopathic tendencies. Amen. And those close to her have noted her to be prone to seemingly random fits of rage, along with random bouts of laughter, coughing fits, and seizures that might be indicative of some form of brain damage after a concussion and a resultant blood clot suffered several years ago. Her only debate opponent after her first was a 74-year-old man with issues of his own, and she stopped debating him once her victory in the primaries was all but assured, which was later revealed to have been due to blatant underhandedness and corruption. Amen. It has been a running joke that this woman is seemingly incapable of appealing to the current youngest voting bloc, with all of her attempts coming off as more forced and corny than the boy band your high school brought in to tell you to say no to drugs. She had not held a press conference in several months, and she is in the midst of so many scandals that at one point the head of the CIA spent 10 minutes of the 15-minute press conference, FBI, but it doesn't matter. Spent 15 minutes of a 10 minutes of 15-minute press conference enumerating multiple crimes that she's committed before declaring that she would not be facing charges. Knowing nothing else, if you had to bet actual money on the winner of the first live televised debate between these two, where would you put your money? Because if you say candidate B, then my friend, you are engaging in what is known as wishful thinking and should brace yourself for some serious disappointment. Absolutely. And that's why I think that we are going to see some big time dodging of wrenches and dodgeballs to limit the amount of debates that there are. Donald Trump said some weird stuff about, you know, the debate, and we'll see what opportunities are out there, or we'll see what the details are. What the fuck are the details? What the fuck are the details? That this woman, she's in her corner of the ring, and she's being held together by duct tape. By duct tape, this woman is being held together. Her career. You're talking about the Underwoods. You're talking about Frank and Claire Underwood. Hillary and Bill Clinton are falling apart physically, mentally, and everything else. I would love to see a blood test. I don't care about their taxes. I really don't care. We know what kind of dealings these people are in. Okay? For as opposed to Russia, as she is, how scared of Russia she is, she was a vehicle of giving them granting them access to 20% of uranium production of uranium one. So she's definitely not afraid to strike a deal with Russia. What's all the fear about Russia? What's all this? I mean, we know how the Clintons make money. There's no way that two people who have never created anything that anybody wants in their entire lives can be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Think about that. You go into politics worth nothing. You get out of politics worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Ladies and gentlemen, come on. Come on here. But years and decades worth of dirty dealings is definitely, they're being dragged across the finish line. It's like the Titanic. You know what it's like? You guys ever see Raise the Titanic? It's a really bad movie from the 70s, or I think the 80s. Matt, did you ever see it?
See what?
You ever see Raise the Titanic?
No, never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Well, in either case, everybody, Raise the Titanic is a really bad movie from either the late 70s or the early 80s, where it's before the expedition, Alvin and JJ, that actually went down and found the resting place of the Titanic, the shipwreck. And I know all that stuff, the Alvin and JJ stuff, because I was so obsessed with the Titanic in fourth grade. The years leading up to it was not inspired by Leo and Kate. Okay. They, at that point, because they didn't know anything about the Titanic, anything about its condition or how it sank or anything, just from reports and all that stuff, they believed that it was all in one piece. And this movie went, and the plot was that they went and they found it, and that there was only a little bit of hull damage that could be, if they went down deep enough, they can repair the hull damage, or they can get these inflatable balloons underneath the Titanic itself, and all at once inflate the balloons, and the Titanic will float up to the surface of the water, raising it all in one piece, and then it could be taxied, finally making its way into New York Harbor, its original destination, finally floating past the Liberty Island and into New York. It's absolutely hilarious. It's terrible. But that is what the Clintons, that is what the Hillary Clinton presidency is. It's a Democrat party that has no good ideas and nowhere left to turn. They had nowhere to turn in 2008, to be honest. So they started wheeling out the token characters. Barack Obama was a pretty strong shoo-in. He was the first young, really young, fresh face. Nobody knew who the hell he was. Some people did. Didn't do a lot in Congress. Said all the right things in Congress that he later backtracked on when the rule of law applied to him. Got in, sold it. We were sold the history stuff. There he was, first black president, and the first president to really utilize social media to get in. I mean, social media has been the number one driver of election results since 2008. Think about that. You know, and that was really it. He's out of there now. He should have lost 2012, but, you know, the Republicans, they keep rolling out these vapid vampire characters that don't do anything because they don't really want to win. And then you have, boom, second chance. Second chance. And now who do they have? Nobody. Nobody. They got to go raise the Titanic. That's it. They got to go raise the Titanic. Now, I just hope that in reality, now, when they try to raise that Titanic and taxi it into New York Harbor, we're living the version where when they go down to the surface of the Atlantic, the floor of the Atlantic, they find that the Titanic is in about two main pieces and then about 16,000 other pieces. I hope that that's what we find come the first week in November, that the Titanic was not salvageable. All right? Either way, I think we're looking at one-term president for each. They're both old candidates. Donald Trump even looks like he's running out of gas right now as far as his energy goes. You look at how he's doing all of these talks, all of his appearances, his campaign appearances. He's taken a step back. Listen to the quality in his voice. He's a little bit more hoarse. He's talking a lot. You know? So there's that, too. So, Ann Caparato says, actually, the Titanic sinking site is where they filmed the moon landings. So there you go. Johnny Vroom says, Kubrick was on the Titanic, but time traveled to the moon and filmed that. So there you go. And Midas, Anarchy in Black, thank you so much for writing that, man. I love reading stuff like this. I immediately bookmark it and say, this got to go on the show. Okay, so we did that. We did Schumer. Delete that. Two Benghazi parents are now suing Hillary for wrongful death and defamation. So we'll see where that goes. We'll see how many more people end up dead. Eric Prince says, Clinton is playing fast and loose with national security and very likely caused the death of Iranian nuclear scientist that was just hung because of the mention of him in those emails. So, once again, loose lips. They used to sink ships, but now they're killing Iranian scientists. Hillary Clinton, but of course nobody cares. We talked about Max and his thoughts about socialism. Orlando shooting gunman Omar Mateen, his father is standing behind Hillary Clinton at her latest rally. That was pretty inspiring. This is a man who says that God will punish gays and is an Afghan Taliban supporter. People are wondering if Hillary Clinton is going to denounce her acceptance of his support. All that's like, come on. Listen, if you have any kind of, if you are a person who's really, really enjoying the entertainment value of all this stuff, you know, the David Duke stuff, that is going to be fun to see if she denounces the terrorist's father, who is actually in support of terrorist regimes and the sterling example of homophobia. We'll see what happens there, even though this is a woman who, along with many of her Democrat cohorts, eulogized and praised the work of Robert Byrd, you know, the Klansman, who still has bronze statues erected in his name all over the country. So, we'll get around. I don't want to get into that. Got this other thing. Strip down. Oh, you know what? That's what we'll do. Let's take a real quick break because I see Joe and Jonesy are here. I have some fun stuff. San Francisco nudists want to start talking about going naked again. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. So you know what? I'll leave you guys with a little bit of time to breathe. And enjoy it. Be well. We'll be right back.
What's your name?
Who's your daddy?
He rich.
Is he rich like me?
Has he taken
any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Entertainment Network on ZenLive.tv.
All right. Okay. So we are back. We're back from break.
Yep.
We're just chilling out. We're joined live now with Joe and Jonesy.
Yep. What's up, everybody?
Broken Filter Live, the podcast that records live next
8 p.m. Tuesday night, ZenLive.tv.
What do you guys talk about tonight?
You want to know? You want an update of what we're talking about?
Well, yeah. Well, like, what's on the docket tonight so people have a preview?
All right. 90-year-old man gets caught picking up prostitutes.
Good for him.
Pretty much had a zero fuck about it.
I don't think he cares about getting caught if you're 90. You're out there. You're just...
Some Dutch stuff. Some Dutch people doing some weird Dutch shit. We're going to talk about the Dutch Olympian kicked off the Olympic team for having a beer.
God.
And they were waiting for him to go into the finals.
Oh, my God.
And
there are Saudis and Lebanese Olympians trying to make sure they're not in the same bus or competition with Israelis. There's blatant anti-Semitism all over the place, and people are getting kicked off because of beers.
Yeah.
At an 11-day fuck fest down there.
Yeah.
And a beer is getting...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wait, save it. If you want to talk about it, you come on the show tonight. You join us.
Yeah, there's been a lot of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
We'll
make it an even trade. If you want to come in for a couple of stories, we'll join us.
I will try to get on. I know that at 8 o'clock, as soon as we're done, I go right in to... I don't even think we might do... In fact, you guys can bleed over into 9 o'clock tonight. I don't think we're going to be doing ZNY because I have to... We have a band practice.
Oh.
We have to learn like 5 new covers for this gig that we're doing on the 20th. So
nice.
It's taking a little bit more time. Yeah.
It's got to be fun, though. It's gotta be nice.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. To learn covers, it really is fun because it's always good to have some things to pull out in a tight spot.
Yeah.
So we're learning, like, we're doing a Jamiroquai song.
Oh, yeah.
We're playing No Rain by Blind Melon.
Nice.
It's like really things that I never thought that we'd ever play, so it's been fun.
No, yeah. I really like when you guys experiment because I feel like you guys, just in the two and a half years that we've been around here,
yeah.
I see you guys have just grown exponentially from this early stuff you had, which I liked anyway that I heard, but now you guys are throwing out so much cool stuff when I see you guys play and I hear you guys play and I hear your new tracks and I hear you bleed through the walls. And
I can't wait for you to hear the new stuff, man. I it's hard to tell people that we're even a rock band anymore. We're just... All we're doing is...
All over the place?
If it sounds good, man, we're rolling with it. We've got some really trippy shit coming out soon.
I'm excited.
So, yeah, it's going to be good. I'm excited. But I'm happy to have you guys here, too.
Good.
Now, I have a couple stories. First thing I want to get down to is San Francisco. Stripped down march in San Francisco for the right to bear all. Now, here we are. The persistent nudist Gypsy Taub Baird, bared her body along fellow naked activists Sundays in honor of the late famously freewheeling Grateful Dead musician Jerry Garcia. Now, they're out there talking about nudism. They want everybody to just be naked constantly. Of course, it's coming out of San Francisco. What do you guys think about... I mean, we're seeing these... businesses being opened up here in the U.S. and mostly in London, too, where they have naked bars. We heard about this blowjob bar that they're opening up in London somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? I know you guys love talking about
that.
The raunchy
shit.
Yeah,
we did cover that, yeah.
And listen, I'm no prude at all.
It's amazing. A coffee and a blowjob bar. Listen, you had me a blowjob.
but let me ask you guys something.
Yeah.
As guys who are not, they're not offended by porn, you guys have great many people that work in the adult entertainment industry that are on the show with you.
Right.
You conduct fantastic interviews, and you are not afraid to get your hands dirty.
Right.
no matter the fact that you guys have shown, and you are obviously very comfortable in your own skin around people who live in multitudes of ways, is there a place for standards? Like, where do you find, where do you draw a line, where are standards that you are, that you think are acceptable in society?
I have to draw the line. You mind if I jump in here?
Please, go ahead.
All right. I was just in New York City on Saturday night. So some of these people are fighting for nudity everywhere and anywhere. That's what I'm getting from this gypsy towel.
Some of them, yeah.
Individual, like, bear it all. Bear it all the time.
Then it is San Francisco, so, I mean, that's just...
I was in the subway in New York last night. There was enough of smell on a hot August night of the smells and stench of people through clothing. So reason number one why I think it's not a good idea all the time, all everywhere, is because clothing covers up some of the sweat and stench of the human body. That we don't need, it doesn't need to be out there. Believe me, if I've been sweating all night at a bar, nobody needs my sweaty ass rubbing all up and down on the fights.
Oh, no, man.
I don't need to do that to anybody else, and I wouldn't expect it to be done back. So for the whole free everything anywhere, walk around, whoever wants to be nude can do it. I also have children. Reason number two, I'm not into it. I don't think my little ones ever need to see a penis, obviously. But sure, it'll happen one day, but I really don't need to have the conversation with a 10-year-old about it.
Mm.
I don't want to. I can really please try to avoid that. And reason number three, I don't even know if I have a reason. Do you have a reason number three?
I do. The reason, you know, very much like in nature... You know, there's like an ecosystem here, and one of the greatest mechanisms we have in society is shame. And you know, one of the greatest things about our world is that, you know, if it's someone's sexual orientation or something, is obviously you got to hold that sacred. But when it's someone just that wants to run around with their tits flopping out, you know, we can throw water balloons at those people.
I don't mind tits being out, though. I am all on the free the nipple train.
Call me hypocritical, if you will.
I mean, blowjobs and coffee shops, I mean,
right.
The world's probably a better place with that.
I don't need my kids following me and walking past the blowjob coffee shop. I think there's a place, a time and a place for everything, and I don't think full nudity genitals. Let's keep the genitals covered, please.
Yeah, but here, my whole thing is this, and this was actually a theme of a show from last week, is where are the standards? By no means do you have to be against anybody's sexual tastes or anything like to think, okay, well, you're talking about, okay, what's a liberal society? A liberal society, in a classic sense, are people who are able to conduct themselves in private however they'd like.
Yes.
And pursue dreams that they have in public life, whatever they like.
While exercising the spirit of, you know, this is my fucking house, and you can go eat
right,
a dick
right.
to the government and to laws and stuff. Yeah.
But is there really a right for people to bring like sexual activity into the public sphere like that? Now, obviously, brothels, the Bunny Ranch, places like that, you can find them. But as far as the commercialization of sex, do you think that there are any real dangerous places that this is going?
You know what? We don't have Howard Stern blaring over the PA of the elementary school. So, you know what I mean? We got to keep things like that, like a black and white. There's a place and a time for certain things like that. Do I think commercialization maybe, you know, maybe Fox 5 and NBC could show a little bit more TNA after 11? You know what I mean? Maybe that's something we could start to introduce.
What about reality TV? What about kids are actually... exposed to on a daily basis. You know, kids are becoming sexually active a lot earlier.
I would rather see, you know, nudity and self-expression in society than shallowness on television. Like a reality television.
I agree.
But how do you measure something like that, you know?
I don't know.
That's difficult.
I don't know. It's just getting to the point where me, somebody who is not, like, I'm not like, ooh, God, naked body. Somebody who is completely open, love sex.
But you're posing the question, where is the line? Where is the standard?
It's becoming cringy for me. It's making me feel like I'm old. I don't think I'm getting old and crotchety. You know, I have not lost interest in sex, nor have I lost it. But to see this society become more and more sex-obsessed, I don't know, man. I feel like people are just... consumed about nothing.
That's all I think about, honestly. But I control myself because I'm an adult. But I
a lot of people aren't controlling themselves, man. Yeah. Social media has opened up all this grandstanding. This I mean, people are they never have clothes on anymore. It's a lot of Twitter. I don't know.
Twitter is the last frontier for the fully nude social media outlet. It's funny, my 10-year-old asked me if she could have a Twitter because her friends have a Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And I wanted to call her friend's parents and be like, are you out of your fucking minds?
Do you know what is happening?
Do you know what I saw on Twitter this morning?
Especially now. You know, Twitter, I like to say, like in 2010, 2011, when I was on Twitter a lot, and that's when I was doing a lot, I was tweeting, I was doing a lot of comedy type of stuff and observational humor, and I was using favestar.fm a lot, and around 2012, Twitter got very, very PC. You couldn't say jokes anymore. And then at the same time, all these bots came in. The porn came in. The shit came in. These just really angry, wanting to kill everybody people came in. And I feel like Twitter right now is like walking in on what was once a really good party, but now everybody's just like throwing up and sick and they don't want to be
bothered.
I feel like Twitter has lost a lot. Unless you are a celebrity and people just gravitate to following you, I don't know, man.
I like Twitter.
I do too, but I've seen it drop off.
Now, the thing is, we're now taking this over the social media road. I can get into Twitter for like a short burst. I can do that for about 15, 20 minutes, and I end up always finding myself back on Facebook for hours. I can scroll through Facebook, and they really nailed their algorithm now. To keeping it fresh. Well, they'll show posts that aren't the newest posts, but maybe posts you didn't see. Like, they're really killing it, because you could keep scrolling all day and go to new stories, and I'll keep scrolling. I can lose myself for hours.
Somehow it keeps on going.
But anyway, back to the discussion.
Let's actually shift gears. Now, on this show, I've spoken at great length, obviously to no avail, and when people believe that they're on the right side of history of a certain subject, it's going to be hard to get through to them with any kind of unbiased take on it. But when we look at things like people talking about religious liberty and being able to deny anybody or being able to say no, I don't want to take part in any kind of activity or a service that has to do with a gay wedding, whether it be for any kind of religious reason, any religion, because obviously there are other religions that have much bigger problems than homosexuality than Christianity does. And I always talked about how this country needs more than anything a major thickening of skin.
Absolutely.
Because once you go in and you start telling people that you cannot do something or not do something, do something or decline taking part of something on a basis of your own conscience, and you are now mandated by law to do something, you are going into very, very murky territory where you're now opening yourself up. Here's an example right now. Selling alcohol and pork. Sell alcohol and pork, a French town tells a halal supermarket. So a halal supermarket in France, okay, yeah, owned by Muslims, now being forced to sell pork and alcohol, which is obviously not something that jives with them.
Yeah.
Because of whatever. Now, this obviously, when I picked this up, I picked it up because of the comments, which were very, very liberal people screaming about how fuck France, this is ridiculous. They shouldn't, you know, how dare you tell a private business to do this and that? I'm like, wait a second. What's the difference between telling somebody you must sell alcohol and pork and you must bake a cake for somebody? This is what I'm talking about, was when you start a conversation and the pendulum is swinging one way,
right,
the pendulum is going to swing back. And it's starting to really tick people off, but they don't get to see the irony of it all.
Right.
What do you guys think about this type of stuff?
I think it's so tough. Each individual situation has its own set of circumstances. And I do see this very similar, lots of similar. I'm pretty good at this thing on the mic usually. Lots of similarities between the I don't want to bake a cake and I don't want to sell pork and alcohol. I, for some reason, think that it's a little bit backwards, because you're telling someone that their religion calls for no pork, no alcohol, they have to sell it. I don't agree with, see that, I don't agree with the religion persecuting certain kinds of people ever, because especially Christians, I'm Catholic, you pick and choose out of the Bible what you want to follow, because you know a million, tens of millions of people that say that they don't like gays because it's against their religion are having sex before marriage, eating meat on Fridays during Lent, or you know, not having sacrifices of lamb.
Still, if you make a decision based on your faith, though, no matter what you're doing or not doing to follow, listen, if you're a Christian and you follow the Old Testament by the book, then you are pretty much a radical Muslim,
right?
I mean, because the Old Testament is full of mercy killings and everything else like that. So
stonings and human sacrifice.
Right.
And
so you take, I can incest. See the take and leaving thing.
Like all of a sudden now you're not doing any of that, but the gay thing's one thing you're hanging on to. I feel like it's a cop out. You don't like it and you want to use the religion as an excuse to fucking use it as a cop out.
But if you use the religion as an excuse,
can I interrupt for a second?
Please.
Yeah.
Can I still get a baguette at this alcohol and pork store?
I hope so. Hopefully, it's halal. Is that halal baguettes?
Well, it's in France, so...
I don't think they sell bread with halal, but, I mean... Oh, the pita. They usually do flatbread, yeah.
Well, now I'm really pissed.
See, here's
if I'm in France, I want me some baguette.
My biggest problem here is that the free market always levels out and weeds out people on supply and demand, okay? Here we are. We're living in 21st century United States. We are pretty lenient as a culture.
Right.
There are people out there who are very religious and do not necessarily hate people who are gay, but don't agree with it on a religious basis. On that basis, you can't legislate the human heart. You can't tell people how to practice the religion, because that is a First Amendment right, which is not even a right given to us by government. It's an unalienable right, one that we are all born with. Mm-hmm. You can practice your faith however you want. My whole thought
besides
is...
besides flying planes into buildings and killing thousands of people.
Well, which murder is a crime. Yeah. You know, murder is
besides,
a crime.
Besides murdering people. Yeah. You know, let's keep that to a minimum.
And my whole thing is this, that if you're working in... Okay, let's say I open up a bakery in Portchester and I say I don't want to take part in gay marriage. I'm pretty sure that the market is going to dictate how successful I am going forward when that word gets around.
Yeah.
That's what we need to start relying on.
Mm-hmm.
That... people are going to go.
Shame.
Yeah. Well, you
come back
pretty much make your points with where you bring your business.
Yeah.
Where are you spending your money? You don't need to be in the business of legislating the human heart, because this is what happens. The pendulum swings back the other way. And I say swings back the other way because on the left, the progressive left, which is pretty much going up, is always up in arms about things like religious liberty here in the U.S. Here they are, champions of the Muslim of Muslims. In that's their biggest play these days, and here now they're upset that deli owners are being forced to serve things that aren't halal.
I'll tell you what, this is an extreme view, and I know people might not like it, but I feel in this market and the way, like you just said, the business will dictate what happens and if it's successful or not. I feel like you should be able to refuse service to anybody.
Yes.
If it's your private business.
Dude, yeah.
For any reason.
It's a laissez-faire environment.
Go ahead.
It is. It really is. And you know what? And that's why a lot of people like, you know, the Ron Pauls of the world, Barry Goldwater. You know what? On tomorrow night's show, I want to read a little bit of information on Barry Goldwater, because people like him, politicians like him, who are classical liberals, who were also, after FDR, those people were called conservatives. But... these are people that actually took stands against and did not vote in favor of a lot of the civil rights laws that were put on the floor because of private property implications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, for people who are only listening to the right side of history arguments, they don't care about what the hell the reasoning is. If you're talking about allowing people to say no to somebody on basis of religion or race or anything like that, then no, we can't allow this to happen. But the pendulum swings back the other way and allow people, okay, do you really want to go get your hair cut from the racist down the street? No, not a lot of people are going to do that. Let them hang out to dry.
Yeah. give them enough rope to hang themselves with. Just let it happen. It's going to happen. If you're going to refuse service to people because they're a specific kind of person, it's just going to fall on their face. They're going to fall on their face.
See, this is what I wish. These are the conversations I wish we were having again. I feel like we are in the midst of the rise of anti-fascist fascists right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are ironically just as crazy as the people they think they're fighting. And I don't know, man. I
smell a New York Times article.
I should write something.
The anti-fascist fascists.
We should see that. Well, in either case, it's 8 o'clock. You guys got to go live. But like I said, you can spill over into the 9 o'clock hour. So,
if you would like to discuss any of the Olympic stuff, we can hit that first.
If I get done with our run-throughs in the back and you guys are still on air, I will slip into the air conditioning by all means.
Cool.
All
right. Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us. And that's Joe and Jonesy. You guys, stick around. They're going to be live right now on Zen Live TV. Broken Filter Live coming up next. I'll see you guys soon. For tomorrow night, prepare any kind of thoughts you have. Send me some asks on Tumblr. We'll do that. Tomorrow night, prepare any thoughts you have on that type of laissez-faire, free market stuff. I'll bring up some history on Barry Goldwater and the civil rights votes and all that shit. And we'll get into that tomorrow. I think that'd be a good topic because it has a lot of modern-day tie-ins. In either case, see you all soon. And be good. Wrong one.